not last, it's not surpassed.
It used to be a newspaper.
The Butt Podcast, not outclassed, wonders en masse.
Get it unmatched, everyone, up to the end of the game.
The Butt Podcast, there's the ins, there's the outs, there's the shake it all about. There's the old and the new, the wondrous legends on interview. First not last, it's not surpassed.
It used to be a newspaper.
The Butt Podcast, not outclassed, wondrous en masse.
Get it unmatched, everyone, up to the end of the game.
The Butt Podcast.
Welcome to the Buff Podcast. My name's Mark Iles. I'm the chief football writer of the Bolton News. This is the show that brings you up to speed with absolutely everything you need to know about Bolton Wanderers. And let's face it, a shed load of stuff that you really have no use for whatsoever. Regular listeners will know that my usual co-host, Henry Hewitt, is getting married this week. And the very best of luck to him and his wife-to-be. And not giving away any trade secrets here, but they're going to be honeymooning in Dick Cocklesfield. And that is the kind of niche information that you're tuning in for, I'm pretty sure. But it's Euros week. It's Euros week, so we're going to get an international flavour on this podcast. And with me, a man who hates England so much that he only plays the German version of Three Lions.
I've not heard that, but I want to.
Look, there's the voice. It's the voice of Bolton FM. It's Derek Clark. How are you?
Bad, how are you?
Fantastic. I'm not doing too badly, man. I'm better for speaking to you, I have to say.
That's my favourite podcast, I have to say. I mean, it's provided many entertainment on the way to away games last season, so it's fantastic to be on.
Yeah, well, the best thing is we don't sit here arguing with each other like they do on the Wanderer.
No.
I can handle LOV. They're decent chaps, but I can't be dealing with all that. And we don't need celebrities. But we don't need celebrities. We book people like Derek Clark. That fits in with the budget perfectly, really.
Absolutely.
And I so wanted to introduce you as the voice of Bolton FM, Fergal Sharkey, by the way.
I'm surprised that's not the intro music. Fergal Sharkey, I think that's going to follow me about everywhere.
We have not started the edit yet, don't worry. Right, okay. This is a Bolton Wanderers podcast through and through, and I promise you I won't bore you to death with England and Scotland stuff, but it'd be remiss of me not to have you on the podcast and talk a little bit about Scotland because, you know, the Euros are coming up, start Friday. What do you reckon to Scotland? What are the chances?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm a bit gutted because I usually go to these tournaments. I had tickets booked to go last year. I was going to go all over the place. But then, as to quote Alan Partridge, China happened and it all went to pot sort of thing. So I'll be watching it down here in Warrington. But I'm sort of looking forward to it now. I've quite liked the look of the Scotland squad. I don't think there's... I think everyone's sort of in agreement. Only sort of one where folk are a bit dubious about is they maybe felt that Ryan Gold, who's playing in Portugal, should have maybe been included in the squad. But everyone's looking forward to it. I think Scotland's got a good chance, you know. I think the Czech Republic games, I think a winner takes all, the first game at Hampden. I think if they can get a win in that game, then it sets them up nicely. I think England's a free hit in Croatia. I don't think the team that made the final of the World Cup 3 years ago now. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to Friday, mate. I tell you what, your life is not going to be worth living on Twitter if that goes the way of the odds.
Tell you what, my mum and dad are coming down a week on Friday. I never knew that was the day of the England-Scotland game. So I'm not too sure if I want to take my dad out to a beer garden or something. I think it might turn into William Wallace or something like that. So I think we'll just watch it in the comfort of our own home.
Dad, what are the war paints for? What did I told you to put on trousers as well.
He wants to come down and sack York.
I say we get niche historical jokes as well as niche Bolton Wanderers jokes on this podcast. That's the way of the world. Right, okay, this is a news podcast, so let's have some breaking news. As ever, we are committed to bringing you the very latest news from all the Bolton Wanderers players on social media, the topics that really matter. And our top story this week, Nicky Southall decks out his garden. Robbie Elliott likes Wile E. Coyote, and Jerry Taggart is selling a Volkswagen Golf hatchback. More on our top story, former Wanderers winger Nicky Southall wanted to know if any decking companies were out there. He found one, and now his garden looks, to quote him, unreal. Yes, these are the big stories that we cover, Derek. You'll be well aware of that from following the Buff. Is your garden looking as good as Nicky Southall's right now up there on the Island of Skye?
I don't think there's any possibility that it's anywhere as good as that. But I have had it recently slabbed, so that's good.
Do you need a Volkswagen? Because I also know a former Bolton centre half that's selling one.
I would absolutely love a Volkswagen.
I'll put you in touch with Tags. He's our resident Buff podcast kind of entrepreneur. I think he does a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He's a little bit weird, a little bit way. But he's big into his car dealership at the moment, Tags. I wouldn't tell him that to his face, of course, because he was also a very hard man indeed. But let's get serious for a second. It's obviously a proper news podcast, and there's no Henry this week. So not only have I had to write all the stories, I've also had to compile the headlines as well. But there's absolutely loads to go at, Derek. So I'll get your opinion on this one first off. It's the one that broke this morning. Declan John looks like he's on his way back. Ian Everett, very, very confident, and the Bolton fans rejoice. It'd be great to see him back, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think everyone's in agreement. I don't think there's anyone that wouldn't want him back in that left-back slot for next season. He was an absolute class act when he came into the side, popped up with some vital goals. And I think he's a championship player, isn't he, really, at the end of the day? That Bolton managed to get him, which was a great bit of business. And I'm sure he wouldn't have been short of offers as well. He's former Welsh international. I think he can still get Welsh caps. He's still young in his career. And it's great if Bolton can tie him down. That'd be a fantastic bit of business.
25, very good age. And I'd be interested to see what the contract length is as well, because Bolton have gone all out this summer in tying people down for, I mean, these numbers, these twos and threes, you just don't get them at Bolton Wanderers. It's 12 months or nothing for the last God knows how long.
Yeah, it's good to know that it's not going to be a sort of a rip-up and start-again job at the end of the season as well. They're looking to get these guys tied down and getting them tied down early in the sort of close season as well, which is good. It's obvious that Ian Everett wants a settled squad for pre-season, which is good to see. You want that. You don't want to be rushing about the transfer market come the last week of the transfer window and the last day. I'm sure you'd like a settled transfer deadline day as well, Mark. So it'll be good to get these guys tied down. But yeah, like you say, 2 and 3 year deals, fantastic to see. It just shows the level the club is on at the moment and the future aspirations.
Yeah, dead right. I can envisage a transfer deadline day where I'm sat in a park with my feet up, a couple of biscuits either side of me, just waiting for Bolton to give me the call and say, no, nothing today. We've got our full squad. We're top of the league. There's no problem. Continue eating your malted milks. That is my biscuit of choice, you know. There's a lot of posh biscuits out there, but I'd go a malted milk all day long. No problem. They do tend to crack in half, but other than that, they're quite good.
Yeah, they're a standard sort of decent level.
You're going to tell me you're a shortbread man, aren't you?
I've not had shortbread in years, but you've now put me in the mind for it. I'm not really a biscuit guy, to be honest. I like a wagon wheel. I'm partial to a jam filled wagon wheel.
I don't know. You're supposed to dunk a wagon wheel, though, mate. Are you supposed to?
No. Absolutely no chance. You'd one of those Sports Direct mugs, I think, to one of your wagon wheels in there.
And I'm not lining my cashless pockets for no one. No chance. Yeah,
exactly.
Moving on then, we have got a one-year deal, but it's for Matt Jilks, so I suppose it is definitely forgivable. He's 39 years old, brilliant last season, I'm sure you'll agree, Derek, absolutely fantastic. Now, we're going up a level, going into League One. Jilks has just turned 39, as I say. Is he going to be the man for Bolton Wanderers? Is it fair to say to him, listen, you weren't even playing last season at one stage, but now you are number one at a higher level?
Yeah, I love the fact that Jilks has signed a new deal. I know you and Henry have spoke about having competition for him next season, which I think is crucial, just to push him on and just to have a goalkeeper on the bench. I think Ian Everett will want that next season as well. But yeah. It's great to see him sign a new deal. I know he's 39, like you say, Mark, but I mean, we spoke to him after games sometimes, and he feels fit as a fiddle. He actually gets a bit hit up when folk just talk about his age all the time, because, I mean, you can tell he's still got it in him. He loves being in between the sticks. And, God, you can hear him. The players can hear him ringing in their ears when they get home after a game at night as well. So he's certainly got all the enthusiasm there. He produced some world-class saves last season as well. I mean, it was defied belief, some of the stops that he made. And he just sort of organised that back four, I think. Mm. I think, and I mean, that's one of the key factors to the resurgence in form, I think, and why Bolton managed to work their way up the leagues and get promoted. So I think great news that he signed a new deal, not only for on the park, but he's a massive influence, isn't he, just off the park as well. So I think that's a good bit of business. But yeah, like you and Henry have said before, I think another goalkeeper is crucial to get in the summer.
It was interesting to hear Ian Evatt say that he wants somebody in there that's had a full season behind him. He doesn't want somebody like he reached for in the end in January for Lucas Jensen, who hadn't had much first-team football behind him at all. He was always going to be a stopgap, albeit, you know, potentially a better level than Billy Crellin was at the time. And certainly there was no question of him stepping back into the team at that point in time. But yeah, I think it's very important, because I think good goalkeepers, however good goalkeepers, if they haven't got the competition behind them, I think they can go stale. I think they can lose motivation. And when you're in, you know, Gillow's situation, where he's also kind of got one eye on coaching and having that stage of his career next, I think it's really important to keep him absolutely top. I've got no issue with him being Bolton's number one next season whatsoever. I think he's, as you said, he bailed Bolton out. I think he was a little bit unlucky not to get sort of talked about in the Player of the Year terms last season. But I think it's absolutely vital that they get the right man in now that maybe has had a full season in League Two and like a first choice goalkeeper. I know they've been linked with Dixon at Barrow, for example. Yeah. Now that's, you know, he was quite busy at Barrow last season, but Everett knows him quite well. I could see that sort of signing being a good one for Bolton.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know that's been mooted before. I think that would provide the right level of competition for Gillow as well. I think you're right there. I don't think we'll see a Lucas Jensen or a Billy Crellin come in this season. I think it will be a more experienced pro. And let's be honest, whoever they bring in will be wanting to vie and get that number one spot as well. So competition is good, especially for goalkeepers. You don't want someone just being too comfortable there. You might see errors happening and all that sort of stuff. So you want the goalkeepers pushing each other. So I think it's a good thing. And the Barrow keeper, like you mentioned, McDixon, it does make sense when you look at it. So I would have no qualms about him coming in.
A lot of competition at centre half as well, especially now Bolton have signed George Johnson. That's happened since we last aired our podcast. Johnson played at Wigan last season. He's come from Feyenoord. He's a couple of years there. He was Liverpool's under 23 skipper. Great pedigree to him. What do you know about him, Derek? Have you seen him playing for Scotland at all?
I haven't, no, but I know the boy that does the commentary for Wigan, and as soon as he signed, he messaged me and says he's you've got a player there. He thinks he was brilliant last season. He says he's classy on the ball and a warrior defensively, and he can play a little bit as well. So they were hoping that he would go and go back to the DW for next season. So it's always a bonus when you can nip in ahead of Latics and get a player off them. So yeah, he's highly regarded, he was last season. So I'm really excited to see him in action next season. Like you say, if you're not a bad player if you're at Feyenoord. I don't care if you're playing the first team or what have you. Not mean you're a decent player. So really looking forward to seeing him in action. And like I mentioned there, he's described as a bit of a battler and a warrior on the field. So I'm sure that'll fit right into Ian Evatt's type of player.
Yeah, there's no room for cheap point scoring against Wigan Athletic on this podcast. 1-0. That's Bolton Wanderers 1, Wigan Athletic 0 this summer. Thank you very much. But actually, Johnson coming in, left-sided centre-half, meant there was always going to be a shuffling of the pack. We've already said on this podcast that Rhys Greenidge, I'd be very surprised if he plays another first-team game for Bolton personally. I will stand corrected. However, Ryan Delaney definitely has played his last one now, because he's officially severed ties with Bolton Wanderers, and his agent, I believe it's his agent, Stephen Hunt, had a bit of a moan on Twitter as well that apparently the club have reneged on some sort of deal in January. bit classless, after, especially after Delaney had posted a very decent message, I thought, just thanking everybody at the club for his time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it does leave a sort of bitter taste in the mouth. Quite like Ryan Delaney. He done his part when he came in. He scored that vital goal, of course, down at Cheltenham, the winner, the late winner. So he played his part in the season. And by all accounts, I thought he would have been kept on for next season. But yeah, it seems like a strange one. Maybe the agent, they're just sort of getting involved in between the player and the club, and it's not nice to see at times, but I just wonder where he's going to end up. Do you think he'll be a team at League One, or do you think he'll go back down to League Two, Mark?
Yeah, I think personally he's got a chance at League One level. I think he played at AFC Wimbledon before he turned up at Bolton. He'd obviously done a bit at Rochdale as well. So he's shown at League One level he can cut it in the right sort of team. He's just not an Ian Everett defender. I think he's not as comfortable on the ball. I think when Ian Everett came in, it was quite apparent that he wasn't really in that mould. But he stuck in there. He worked hard. Like you say, he got into the team, and he actually was quite an important part of the team prior to January. And obviously, he just had that day at Tranmere, didn't he, that everything went wrong and he ended up out of the team, which that's what happens in football. Somebody else takes the chance and all of a sudden Alex Baptiste is getting compared to Paolo Maldini. It's just the way things work. But, you know, Ryan, good lad, really had a lot of time for him in his time in the club. I'm a little bit disappointed if Stephen Hunt is speaking on his behalf that should go in, because actually, if they had an agreement in January, I mean, that is light years away from where Bolton were in the end. They weren't a League One club at that point in time. So anything could have happened there. You know, whether you set, I think things change in football now. I think that sounds to me, without knowing too much about the situation at the minute, that's something I'm kind of planning to do today and have a look about what actually happened. But it sounds to me that maybe Bolton were planning for life in League Two at that point in time and said, listen, if that happens, you've got a deal. They've offered him, let's say, similar terms in League One, and Ryan's maybe said, no, that's not for me. And good luck to him. Because don't forget, and it's the same with Arthur Ganua, it's the same with Sean Miller. They've got that promotion on the CV now, Derek. So you would imagine they've got a better case to go and find another club.
Yeah, and you thank them for their work. Like I say, they contributed last season greatly. But Bolton are, of course, pushing up into League One. They need that. With all due respect to Ryan Delaney, a more suited player for that division, a player that's going to fit into their ethos and their way of playing, that's going to challenge for a first-team spot. I'm not too sure if Ryan had it in him to force his way into Ian Everett's starting 11. And, of course, as we mentioned, Johnston arriving. You mentioned there Baptiste. I'd love to see him continue that form next season as well, but I think that may be pushing it with his age as well, but with him and Santos, of course, hopefully they can keep him as well. I just struggle to see how Delaney was going to force his way into that side. So it's probably best for all parties that he moves on.
Yeah, and also I had a chat with Ian Everett the other day. He said he's definitely looking for another centre half as well. So that, you know, the list is quite endless there. It's quite a well stocked position. Another very well stocked position is central midfield. Now this one really is an interesting one because Josh Sheehan signed from Newport, very big player in League Two last season for them. 55 games I think he played in the end. Oh, sorry, 53 games and two for Wales rather. Box to box midfielder, impressed on all sort of statistical levels last season. But where do you see him fitting in, Derek? Is it easy to answer?
it's a tough one, but I tell you what, he's a good player, and he'll be contesting that starting slot. I think you're maybe been missing that box to box. I know that they've got Kieran Lee there that can do that job, but he was out injured for a period of time as well. So it's good to have that option there to compete with him. I think you can never have too many good players, I think. And for League One, I think he's absolutely suited for it. I think, again, he fits in the Ian Everett sort of type of player. He's full of running heart and he's not afraid to get stuck in. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him in action. But you're right, that midfield area is going to be really fiercely contested. Remember, there's Andrew Tutt in there as well, isn't there? So you just wonder if he can manage to force his way back into the reckoning again. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how all that plays out. But I'd imagine have you spoke to the manager? Is he keen to maybe bring in another midfielder at all there, or is he quite happy with what he's got?
I think it sounds very much as if he's quite happy with the central midfield options that you know, from Sarcevic at the very tip of the diamond, if you will, all the way back to MJ Williams. I think he feels like he's got enough there. I mean, if I were somebody like Brandon Comley, for example, I would definitely be looking elsewhere at the moment. It seems very, very unlikely, when they've given Andy Tutt another year, that Brandon Comley's going to get anything like a chance to play next season. But, you know, again, you stand corrected, a bit like with Greenwich and people like Liam Gordon. I think the idea that they've got this kind of second string that they're going to try and create, that's still kind of up in the air a little bit as to how they're going to do it, but they are looking to do it. That gives them a regular game to show themselves, and I can envisage him go out on loan, to be honest, and finding the football that way.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Yeah, I forgot all about Comley, actually, when you mentioned him there. Yeah, I think his first
team. So did Bolton, by the way, has been playing World Cup football and they haven't mentioned it yet.
Yeah, right enough, yeah. Was it Montserrat or something?
Montserrat, yeah. He played against the British Virgin Islands the other day. It was a big game on Sky. Did you not see it?
No, I missed that. Was it Super Sunday or something? I missed that one. I was out, but yeah, good luck to me. I love players that go and represent their country, especially over in the Caribbean and what have you. It's good to see. But yeah, I don't think he's going to get much of a look in next season, so it's probably best for his career that he finds a club elsewhere, which is, disappointing. He came obviously from, was it Colchester, wasn't
it? Yes, that's right, yeah.
Last season, and you're thinking, no, he's a decent player, but it never really worked for him. He didn't look comfortable in that shape. So, yeah, it's just unfortunate. It's just one of those. You just thank him for his time, and for the sake of his career, best for him to move on.
Yeah, spot on. I mean, we've touched on midfield there, but what other positions do you think they are lighting? I mean, Declan John, we're taking it as read that he's signed, but he hasn't actually done it yet, so obviously a left back is still a priority. I know Ian Evatt said he might look to sign two left backs, so that really does raise alarm bells for Liam Gordon. And then it's all the strikers. I think he's possibly a winger light, he's a goalkeeper light, and he's definitely one or two central strikers light.
I agree. I think the forward positions, strikers are the one that you need to look for. You need a goal scorer. I know Owen Doyle popped up with the 19 goals last season, and it was absolutely terrific, but sometimes over-reliant on him to get the goals. So I think it's vital they bring someone else in, with Sean Miller, of course, leaving after leaving. Then he is light in that striking area. The thing is, who would be available within, because I mean, strikers are obviously hot property in the summer, a lot of teams after them, so it's who you can get for value for money. That'll be the interesting one. I'm not too sure who's out there that would, because you're really wanting to hit the ground running as well, so I'm sure that's a position that Ian Evatt will be wanting to bring in players' bodies sooner rather than later to get them used to the way that they like to play and what have you. So definitely is the striking area is needs a look at. And like you say, the wingers, Dapo, brilliant to see him come back to the club. Lloyd Isgrove, of course, signing a deal as well. So that's great to see. Both those players were huge, especially the tail end of last season. So it's great to have them tied down. And yeah, I think one or two more in that sort of attacking wide positions would be an area to look at.
Tell you what was interesting, speaking to Ian about strikers, and he acknowledged that Doyle had done a terrific job last season, but I think he admits that not having a different type of striker was a bit of a weakness at times, and that I think is something they are looking to address, whether it be a more physical striker, whether it be a pacier striker than Owen Doyle, a bit of both even. I can see them going into the loan market, and as in the Premier League loan market, a very, you know, recognisable type of loan, now that they're playing League One football and playing the type of football that Premier League clubs will trust Bolton Wanderers to hold on to their younger players potentially as well. It counts in their favour, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. One player just sprung into my head there that you said about a physical striker. Kyle Lafferty might be a decent shout. He's just left Kilmarnock after they get relegated, but he was scoring goals for fun up there before they went down. He's looking for a club, so that's the sort of level of striker, the sort of physical stature that you're looking for, maybe just for something a wee bit different, just especially in League One, I think he would do a right good turn. But yeah, you're right, I think they'll be looking at the Premier League clubs again, just to bring a one or two players in, the likes of what we've seen with Dapo last season. I think they'll be looking at that sort of thing again. I mean, if it's anywhere as good as the January window, then I think we're in for a good campaign.
I think Lafferty is in danger of becoming the new Miguel Veloso for Bolton, by the way. I think I linked him with Neil Lennon because Neil Lennon wanted to bring him in, and then Phil Parkinson wanted to bring him in. So why not go for the hat trick? Let's do it. We can start that rumour here on the Buff. If you're listening, Kyle, there we go. Derek has done you a favour.
You know, it
there,
makes
right?
sense.
I mean, it's going to be an exciting place to be, I think, Bolton next season. I mean, the season tickets yesterday were at, we're recording this on a Wednesday, so on Tuesday it was at 8,000. In fact, Ian never actually sold the 8,000th one on the phone, which is when we spent sort of 10 minutes in his company in the morning. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? I mean, the whole place is sort of a nice buzz about it at the minute, and it's going to be a pleasure to get involved in it.
Absolutely. It's a cracking amount of season renewals that have been sold already. I'd love to have known the guy on the phone and getting the phone call from Ian Evatt saying, do you want to renew your season ticket? That's absolutely fantastic. It's one of those, I see Ian Evatt on the phone, you're like, is this a wind-up? But yeah, that was terrific to see. I seen the pictures yesterday. That's good to see. It is a right good feel good atmosphere around the club at the moment. Of course, with the fans coming back in, hopefully for next season as well, to watch an exciting team as well. So it's certainly at the makings of everyone's sort of buoyant and looking forward to it. But yeah, cracking numbers so far. That's going to go up, of course, as the summer progresses as well. So. It's a great start to the season ticket renewals. How much do you think? How many do you think they'll sell before the start of the season, Mark?
I said this to Ian yesterday. I think if they were to top 10,000, then you have to be pleased with that, given the circumstances and everything that's going on at the moment. There's bound to be people out there that are slightly reluctant or that have been affected by what's happened and financially, etc. So you know, obviously, it's not going to be, you know, the top of the top numbers that it might be. But as I said yesterday, Bolton has always been a case that when they start winning games, when they're doing well, the walk-on traffic is you know, almost double the core support. So it's kind of, you could easily get 20,000 next season with the right away team, with a Sunderland or a Sheffield Wednesday or a Wigan, you know, if Bolton are doing well. So there are plenty of people out there that can be wooed by the club, and I hope that they do sign up for the season ticket and such like, because they are genuinely making efforts to try and mend a lot of those bridges that got broken. And in a perfect segue, as we sit here, nobody else knows this except for Derek, who I just prepped just before the podcast came on, but I can exclusively reveal at this moment in time, although you know this by the time the podcast comes out, there is a documentary that has been filmed this season. Would you believe? The secret is finally out. Over the last 12 months or so, it's called Born to be a Wanderer. And I'm in it, but please do not let that put you off at all. That is what mute buttons are for, ladies and gentlemen. It's basically like a Netflix-style kind of two-episode series that's going to go up on YouTube. And it's behind the scenes, warts and all. And if I said to you that, like, if Sharon Britton got the same sort of grilling as I did by the documentary makers, then I think it's going to be really, really interesting stuff, because we haven't really seen a lot of direct stuff from Sharon on video, and I'm sure that people like Andy Gartzell will be involved, or Ian Evatt will be involved, and maybe even Michael James. I don't know whether he's been filmed or not, but it'd be really interesting to see some of that behind the scenes stuff. And also, I want to see it. And I know, because of what they asked me, but they drill down into the whole, and I'll bleep that name out, don't worry. they drill down into what happened and the real fallout of what happened. And you know, I know you were around the club at that point in time, obviously not a week in, week out press box regular as you are now, Derek, but, you know, it was a scary time to be covering Bolton Wanderers, and it really is overdue a little bit of footage, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to this. It sounds really interesting. Like you say, I remember going to press conferences with Phil Parkinson, and you're not asking about the football. You're asking if the players have been paid, if if the coaching staff have been paid, and it really was some dark days. So it'll be interesting to see what this reveals. Was it Friday it comes out? So should be good. It's a weird one. I never noticed any sort of film crews at the games or anything, so they must have done it quite well secretly behind the scenes. So
it's all fake shake stuff, you know. you know how I look overweight. Actually, it's just me carrying around a camera. I'm actually quite a svelte guy. That's what it is. It's just been I've been carrying cameras around in my midriff. But yeah,
like a Donald McIntyre.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah. I don't know. I have seen them. I have seen. There's been certain games where they were quite on show. But you know, you've got your own stuff to deal with, Derek. That's not a problem. I tell you what, though, if you haven't heard the trailer, I'll play it for you now.
People of the town, the supporters, they're proud of their football club. They're proud of their town.
That Loftus a goal!
Gowling header and Worthington 1-0. Super John is easy.
We've seen some hard times lately.
Football changes very often and frequently, as we've seen with both Wanderers' fortunes.
Bad decisions were made towards the end of their Premier League stay.
You could just see the club's been going in the wrong direction for too long, far too long.
The future of Bolton Wanderers Football Club is hanging in the balance.
Founder member of the Football League could be gone now within days.
I just want to say Bolton Wanderers for the fans, for the whole town of Bolton.
And there we have it, out on Friday, Born to be a Wanderer. I can't wait for that.
Absolutely.
I also can't wait for the feedback from social media when they start making memes of my head.
Notifications turned off.
Exactly. But do you know what notification will never be turned off in my inbox? And that's when Carl's pasties say anything whatsoever, or bake anything, to be quite frankly. If you are planning a Euro 2020 party and you need something to soak up that beer, then my good people, look no further than Bolton's finest bakery, Carl's Pasties. They are available for delivery, they're available click and collect straight from the oven, and they have three premises in town. They are the original shop on Halliwell Road, the shop at the marketplace in the town centre, and the Manchester Road Bakery, a hop, skip and a jump from where Burnden Park used to be. Okay, so we asked you guys, we're trying something a little bit more interactive this week because I knew we were going to have a guest host. I didn't know who it was going to be at the time. and then we ended up getting Derek. But David Wheater was busy, by the way, guys, just in case you were wondering. I phoned Joanne Almanda, and he was washing his hair, but sadly. And Jerry Taggett was miffed at me for some reason. I'm not entirely sure why.
Too busy for selling a Volkswagen.
He was. And Keith Andrews was making suits as well, by the way. He was in the middle of a couple of double-breasted efforts, so he said I couldn't do it this week. We said, listen, you send in your questions and we'll answer them. And this could be something that we do quite a bit of because we probably don't get enough questions, to be truthful, answered on here. It's too much messing about. That's the problem with us. If you replied to my tweet asking you to email in questions on Twitter, as in you replied on Twitter, I haven't answered you. I haven't even included you in the mix. If you didn't follow the rules, then you're not even playing my game, okay? So let that be a warning to you all. Do you know who did? Tom, you followed the rules. Dear Mark and Henry. Henry's not here, but we'll say dear Mark and Derek. Love listening to the podcast each week. That's one brownie point to you. My question this week is, do you know if Ian Everett intends to return to managing in the home dugout? During the last campaign, it was reported he switched dugouts to get in the linesman's ear for decisions. Do you know if he intends to stick to that dugout and to be closer to the away supporters? Thanks, Tom. I don't know for sure, but I'd be very surprised if he switches it, because it was something that kind of it bugged him about the stadium design. I have heard, by the way, and it's not just Ian Everett that said it, I have heard other managers say it about Bolton's setup, that it's kind of counterintuitive from a home manager's point of view. But I think that once the fans are back in, the amount of advantage that you get is going to be slightly altered. I think last season, when there was nobody else except for me and Derek, the only people you could hear in the whole place was, well, just Derek, I don't say much, but yeah.
Matt Jilks.
Oh yeah, Matt Jilks, of course, yeah, Matt Jilks. But yeah, it was a weird atmosphere. So, I mean, do you even get it behind the cans when you've got the headphones on, Derek? Do you really sense it?
Not really, to be honest with you. But in terms of moving dugouts, I think he'll just stick to what was working for him at the end. He's quite a superstitious guy, isn't he? We all know that the Batman pants, I think, at the start of the season as well. So I think he's going to just stick with what's working for him. If it's not broke, don't fix it. So I think he'll continue that. I wonder if, because we've seen Owen Doyle change halves, didn't we? For a number of games when they came out at the Uniball. So I wonder if, I should have really asked him that at the time, what were the thinking is behind that. So I wonder if they'll continue doing that. But yeah, I don't think he'll change it up.
Derek, if I had a quid for every time that I've spoken about something in this podcast and then ended it with, do you know what, I really should ask Ian Everett that at some stage. I need to start tattooing this. You know, have you ever seen the film Memento? I'm a bit like that. I really should start tattooing my whole press conference on an arm before I actually start taking it, because I just go off on tangents like you'd never believe. I'm with you. I don't think he changes. And by the way, on a superstition note, we're not doing Line of Duty this week, but we have got a new line on a lead rather on the Owen Coyle as a voodoo priest.
Story. Oh, wow.
So tune in next week, and that's a doozy. That's going to be a doozy. Next question. Hi, Mark and Henry / Derek. Love the pod. Do you think we will spend money on a transfer this window, provided debts are cleared and embargo lifted? And if so, which position do you think it will be spent on? Thanks from Chris. Chris, yeah, good question. I think, and I don't know about you, Derek, but if they've got any money to spend on actual transfer fees, it will be at the back end of the window for starters, but it will be on a striker / forward player. That's the one that costs the money, I suppose.
It is, yeah. That's what I was thinking as well. You've got to pay top dollar if you want to bring in a guy that's going to get you the goals in the end. It could be the difference between going up and not. So I think that's what we'll see. I think I agree with you, Mark. I think it will be towards the back end, if any sort of business in terms of fees are paid. So it'll be interesting to see if money is paid. But what a good position to be in now that you're actually thinking about paying transfer fees again.
Oh, wow.
When was it? Was it McGuinness or whatever?
Yeah,
was that
Josh McGuinness, one? there's 200 grand they're never going to get back.
do you know
the one before that, Derek? And this one will tickle you. £75,000 for Philip Twardzik.
Oh, wow. The former... She was at Celtic, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was at Celtic. Signed from Celtic by Neil Lennon. He really did set the place on fire. Really did. Absolutely. One of the rare breed of players who was remembered more for who he was going out with than what he actually did on the pitch. Enough said. I don't tolerate misogyny on this on this podcast.
No, it's a family show.
Third email... Mark and Henry / Derek, love the pod. But is there anything you can do to make the theme tune not take up occupancy in my brain so that I'm singing it for 2 days after I listen to it? Not a lot I can do about that, to be honest. And this is from Glenn, by the way. Yes, you'll have to blame Simon Woods for that. He came up with an absolute stonker of a theme tune and then remixed it as well without me even asking him. It was brilliant. His real question, Glenn's real question, is a few weeks ago you mentioned on Twitter that Andy Gartside is stepping down from his role and that there'll be an interview in the paper. Unless I've missed it, there hasn't been. What happened, and is Andy still leaving? Well, I'll take that one, Derek, because that's my promise.
Yep.
As far as I'm aware, he is still leaving. I understand he wanted to take some time out. He wanted to get back to normality a little bit with his family. It's been an all-encompassing job for him, I think, since he's been in. I think he was very heavily involved with the Football Ventures bidding originally and introducing people, getting, you know, smoothing over the cracks. That was just, it was just an absolute nightmarish takeover and administration process for both the club and the hotel. I think probably Andy's just happy to go back and be a fan. I think that's his plan. As for the interview, hasn't happened yet. This, you know, the club haven't confirmed anything yet. Pretty damn sure nothing's changed, unless, and Andy might well be listening. Andy, give us a ring and we'll sort it out properly. This is the way we do interviews now. We request them on a podcast.
Yeah. Wow. That's the theme tune. It's magnificent. Big fan.
If you do want to get in touch with us or you have any more questions for the list, email this address. So you want to bring something up on the Buff? Email Mark and Henry on thebuffmail@gmail.com. That's thebuffmail, all one word, @gmail.com. And sorry to the mail escort who probably getting some unsolicited Bolton Wanderers correspondence from the people who spell that incorrectly. Right, okay. I better mention my employers, or else otherwise they'll get mad, Derek. I can't say too much, but interviews have started for the new addition to the Bolton News' sports desk, who will be dealing exclusively with Bolton Wanderers and helping us/me bump up the whole coverage even more. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. But as I say, if you're going to get absolutely everything, there will be a time where certain articles or certain videos and audio will only be available to subscribers and not to Joe Schmo. Okay, so don't be Joe Schmo. Subscribe. It's £2 for 2 months at the minute. And Derek spends more than that on Tunnocks wafers, probably. I would guess. Off the top of my head. If you do want to subscribe, and please do, go to www.theboltonnews.co.uk/subscribe. Right, and now a special segment in honour of our temporary co-host. I was going to call it the League of Nations, but then I had a moment of inspiration as I was just making some notes coming into this. Ladies and gents, the Portugueses. Portuguesers, the rules of the quiz, very simple, Derek. I'm just going to name six current or former Bolton Wanderers players, and you have to tell me their nationality.
Okay.
I mean, I'll give you an example. Neil Lennon, your mate, he would be the Northern Irishman.
Yep.
And you answer this one for me, just for a warm-up. Ricardo Almeida Santos would be...
The Portuguese.
The Portuguese, of course, is the Portuguese. Yeah, that's just like a greatest hits thing. That's like, you know... That's like Coldplay just finishing the thing with Yellow or something, isn't it? You've got to do it, really. One for the crowd. Okay. Sip of water, ready and raring. Okay. Number one, question one. The predatory striker, Ivan Klasnic.
The Croatian.
He's the Croatian. Very good start. One out of one. The legendary goalkeeper, Jussi Jaskalainen.
The Finn.
Also, I would have accepted the big Finn because it was impossible to mention him without using the word big before. It's impossible. I don't know. He wasn't even that big. He was quite big, but he wasn't massive.
Just filled the goal, though.
He did. Very, very well as well. Jussi, if you're listening, I hope you're well, mate. The third question, the record signing, Johan Elmander.
And that would be the Swede.
The Swede. Very, very apt. Number four, the midfield maestro. Oh, these are getting tougher, by the way. The midfield maestro, Frank Passy.
Oh, good.
Here we go.
Frank Passy. Can I phone a friend?
Not if it's Frank Passy. Frank, where are you from?
Is there clues? No.
Is there a clue? Do you know what? No, there is no clue. Because I have to say that I don't know, other than I remember him as a player, but I couldn't tell you a trivia item other than he went into coaching at a club in the same country as he's from. So it's hard for...
It sounds sort of French. I'm going to say the Frenchman.
It's a great guess, and it's right.
Oh, get
That's 4 out of 4. It's brilliant. Now, if you've been paying close attention to this podcast, you probably get this one. Number 5, the Beckham-esque Dwight Pezzarossi. By the horse noise you just made, I guarantee you will not get this.
Is there a prize at stake here?
Only pride and and a slightly less merciless ribbing when England beats Scotland next Friday.
I've no idea. I'm going to say Canadian, no?
It's the right, I was going to say continent, but it's kind of like a bit north. He's Guatemalan. He's Guatemalan.
Ah, never mind.
I don't know in which geographical sphere I was thinking that Guatemala was near Canada, but it's like pan-continent. I don't know.
It's that neck of the woods.
It's that neck of the woods, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, number 6, and this is to finish with a very credible 5 out of 6, by the way. The Vidic-pushing Ariza Makakula.
Oh, dearie me. Stumped me here. Ariza Makakula.
This is a curveball, really.
Yeah, I'm going to say, are we looking at African continent maybe?
Well, let's put it this way, he was born in Mozambique.
Right, okay.
Now, that's not necessarily the country he played for.
Yeah. I'm going to say the...
Are you all right, Derek? We've lost Derek, everyone.
I'm just trying to think of countries here. Okay, I'm going to just go and stab in the dark. The South African.
He was a Portuguese.
I was going to say Portuguese.
Well, if that's the noise you make when you're thinking of something, I'm just glad I never went to school with you in exams. That would be so off-putting, man. It really would. Derek, can you just shut up? I'm trying to take A-level biology, for Christ's sake, man. Oh, dear. Right, okay. Right, it's nearly time for the end of this hilarity. But a reminder just before we go about Buff Extra. And just bear with us, because on Monday we had to re-record some bits of an interview for the next episode. I shall hopefully have that sorted over the weekend, so that at the start of next week that will be sorted and we'll be back on the road with Buff Extras. Apologies for that. There was a little bit of technical issues with that one. But all that is left to say, I suppose, is to thank Derek for joining us, for starters. Did you enjoy it, mate?
No, thank you for having me on. Like I say, it's my favourite podcast. So, it was terrific to stand in for the legendary Henry. Good luck to him with his wedding and all that sort of jazz. And thanks for having me.
Absolutely, mate. Any time. And you never know. We might have you on before next season for a couple of predictions. And my view on a week, maybe in a couple of weeks, to explain why Scotland have gone out of the group stages of the Euros. Yeah.
Tell you what, I've got a feeling they're going to make it to the semis. I think they're going to do a Wales.
Yeah, you sound like Dalimitri, mate.
I think you're
coming on old Ali's army here now.
We're going to go and win the competition.
Well, you never know. The great thing about before a national tournament is, anything's possible. Anything's possible. But I don't particularly fancy England. But I was.
Do you not think they've got a chance?
I was pessimistic before Russia 2018, and I enjoyed that summer because it didn't completely confound my expectations. Let's put it that way. It was one of them.
Yeah.
I actually finished higher than I started. So as long as I can do that, as long as I can salvage some sort of pride from it, at least I get to listen to Three Lions and Vindaloo and such like over the next few weeks. But right, okay. Thank you very much for tuning in, ladies and gents. Enjoy the start of the Euros. come back next Friday, where Henry, all loved up, will be back in the hot seat. But for now, though, I have been Mark Isles.
And I've been Derek Clark.
Throw Henry confetti, Jared Baghetti.